All of us have natural abilities. Some have more, some have less. But every believer in Jesus has a spiritual gift to share. The Holy Spirit bestows gifts of service on God's people. Some teach, some proclaim from the pulpit. Others serve in quiet ways that few will notice. But every Christian has a gift. Today, how to find out what your gift is and how to put it to use for God's glory. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue our series on what happens when the Spirit has His way. Turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as Dr. Lutzer comes to speak on the gift of service.
So what has the Holy Spirit of God done in your life this past week that can't be explained simply because of your natural ability or luck, but rather you have seen in your life and your experience the Holy Spirit of God at work, being able to live beyond what you normally live because you see the Holy Spirit of God is there. We've been learning in this series of messages that every Christian is indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and we can be very grateful for that. The person of the Holy Spirit, by the way, he is a person, and he can work within us according to his will, but he seeks our cooperation. So I hope that you recognize that that person is with you and you are experiencing the blessing of the Spirit personally. But also, I'm interested in the Holy Spirit working at Moody Church, working among us as a body. And that's the focus of today's message. This idea that Jesus and I can have something going on between us and I don't have to be a part of the church is not taught anywhere in the New Testament. To say that you love Jesus, but you don't love his people, despite all their faults, if you don't love the people whom he has redeemed, you really don't love Jesus. How can you love Jesus and not love his body, the body of Jesus Christ, part of which is gathered here today as we have the privilege of ministering God's word? Now imagine Christmas comes and somebody gives you a gift and you leave it under the tree. There may be many reasons why you want to leave it there. It's from somebody that you don't like very much anyway, and if you open the gift, you sort of have an obligation to do something nice for them. Maybe it's that. Maybe another reason might be because you, in your spirit, think you already know what's in it, and so you leave it there. Month after month, the gift stays under the tree. Now imagine for a moment receiving a gift from God with your name on it. And God says, "This is my gift to you," and you leave that gift under the tree. I believe very deeply that this message could be transforming for people who don't even know that God gave them a gift. And maybe also we can give you some hints as to how you can find out what your gift is, to get it unwrapped and used. After all, God put you together in a certain way that you might have a very special gift. And God is so creative. He's so creative. When he sends a snowstorm, every single flake is different. And look at how creative he is. Just look around this sanctuary this morning and look at the person next to you. Don't turn around and look at the person behind you. They're looking at you. And see how uniquely God made us all, so different, so unique. The passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I do hope that you have your Bibles with you. If not, there are some Bibles in the seat ahead of you. And this is page 959. 959, if you have a Bible like mine, and you need to see it in the text. You need to see it for yourself, what the gifting is, and also to try to find out what yours is. Now, the key to this passage is actually chapter 12 here, verse 13. "For by one Spirit we've all been baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks," is that what it says? "Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one Spirit." In an earlier message, I spoke about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and used this text. Remember the world in which people were converted out of in Corinth. Keep in mind that it was an exceedingly immoral culture. Every kind of sexuality was available, every kind of perversion, whatever you wanted, it was there, and it was encouraged, it was not discouraged. The real, quote, free society. But people discovered something. In the end, it was dissatisfying. In the end, it caused problems. In the end, there was no fulfillment. There was hollowness and there was emptiness. And so the gospel came to them. And as Paul says elsewhere, what it did is it translated people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Could I pause there and say that you who are listening, have you experienced that transformation? Has God transferred you from a kingdom of darkness with all of its false promises and brought you into the kingdom of his blessed Son? If he's done that through your faith in Jesus Christ, if he's done that, then you are a member of the body of Christ. Notice the little word all there in the text. For by one Spirit are we all baptized, by one Spirit do we all drink. Everyone is part of the body. Now, with that background, let's look at how the body functions and the gifting that God gives to us so that we might function properly. Chapter 12 now, we're in verse 1. We begin at the beginning. Concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed. The Greek word actually is agnostic. I don't want you to be an agnostic about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to not know that God has given you one. And furthermore, I don't want you to know that God has given you one and yet you don't know what your gift is. You were created to function within the body, and everyone, as we shall see, has a spiritual gift. He talks about probably the Oracle at Delphi. People would go to Delphi to try to discern what the gods were saying. Somebody like today that would go to a fortune teller or perhaps to read the horoscopes to try to find out what they should do or whether they have any luck. Paul calls these mute or dumb idols. They will lead you astray. They will deceive you. And so Paul says, thank God that's part of your past life, and that part is gone. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. If you find somebody saying that, you know it's coming from a demonic spirit, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, the devil may be able to mouth those words, but he cannot do it embracing it for himself. And so Paul indicates that one way to tell between the spurious, the wrong, and the evil, and the good, is what a person says about Jesus. Well, all that by way of background. Now we're going to look at the gifts. Notice Paul says, now there are varieties of gifts. The Greek word is charismata. Strictly speaking, all of us, properly interpreted, are charismatics. Because we believe in spiritual gifts. They are grace gifts. God has graced you. You know, maybe you've had a hard week. Maybe things have really gone wrong for you this week. But will you remember God has graced you in giving you a gift? And if you cannot serve, I'll say a word about that at the end also. For whatever reason, God understands that. But I'm speaking to you today and saying that God has uniquely gifted you. And then he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but notice that they have the same source. They have the same source. He says, they have the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Now, just think about this. Let's not hurry over the text. Did you see the whole Trinity? It says there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, the same Lord. Jesus Christ and the same God. Now, all throughout here, Paul is going to attribute your special gift to the Holy Spirit, but have you ever thought of the fact that the Trinity put you together? And the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit determined what your gifting would be? What a beautiful statement. Today, in the midst of our world that is so busy with all of the distractions and all of the cell phones, I think I'm going to preach about that in a couple of months. Cell phones. The average person looks at his cell phone 34 times a day. In the midst of this, would you just bask in the fact that the Trinity knows about you, the Trinity gifted you, and our gifts come from the same source. But notice also that these gifts have the same purpose. The same purpose. You'll notice it says, to each, verse 7, is given the manifestation of the Spirit. I went to bed last night meditating on that. I thought, how beautiful can you get? The manifestation of the Spirit. You and I are to show forth the manifestation of the Spirit. And then it says, it is given for the common good. Common good. That's why you're gifted, is for the common good. The Greek word is symphone, from which we get the word symphony. Now, you know that we had an orchestra here this morning, and before I came on the platform, I asked some of them, what are some of the instruments that are played? And, of course, we know about the violins, and we know about the trombones, and the cello, and the bass, and all those. And they gave me some others whose names escape me at the moment. But this morning, I was here early enough, before many of you were, and I heard them warming up. Sounded awful. I mean, I think it sounded something like cats in a barrel. That's the way we are. But once they are in tune, what a beautiful symphony. In fact, let's give them a hand for the way in which they blessed us this morning. Now, what Paul says is this, that we as a church are to be a beautiful symphony. And I want to extend it a little bit and say that we are to make music that God enjoys and takes delight in, despite the fact that the functions of the gift are very different. You know what this means? The real issue when you come to church isn't, were you blessed? Though I hope that you are. The real issue isn't, did I just enjoy every piece of music? Though I hope that you're like me, and you did. But that isn't really the issue. The issue is, how did I personally contribute to the church and to the glory of God? Because that's really what is at stake. You know, Vance Havner was a Southern preacher who used to roll off one-liners. And all of us as preachers quote him from time to time. And he said, I haven't heard a sermon in which I didn't get anything. But he said, I've had some mighty close calls. We've all had our mighty close calls. But that isn't really the issue. You're here for the common good. You're here to create the symphony. And could I just digress for a moment and talk about Moody Church? At prayer meeting last Wednesday, I went around with a microphone and we heard some testimonies. The diversity just absolutely blessed us. We had a wonderful testimony from a woman who came to us from Nigeria, who had been raised Muslim and is a believer today. We heard a testimony from somebody who was recently here from the Philippines. We heard a testimony from someone from Romania. And I listened to all these, and I told the people at prayer meeting that of all the churches in the world that I would rather be, there is none quite like the Moody Church with its diversity. And the fact that we together make a symphony. And I hope that the music that we make in our unity is honoring to the Lord. 72 different countries of origin represented right here in this congregation. All coming together to bless God. Gifts have the same source, God. They have the very same purpose. The singular purpose is for the common good. God created you in the way in which he did so that you could bless others and bless us, and we need every one of you. And they have, however, different functions. Now, let's look at this, what the Apostle Paul says. And I'm going to read through this list of gifts, letting you know in advance that there are three basic categories of gifts. Now, not all the ones that he listed here, this is not a complete list. In fact, Romans chapter 12 actually has my primary gift is not listed here in this chapter. And even here where the Apostle Paul lists the various gifts, he adds some in verse 27 and following. He talks about helps and administration. So there are maybe 19 or 20 if you take all the lists of the New Testament and combine them, about 19 or 20 different gifts. And they fall into basically three categories. There are speaking gifts, teachers and exhorters and so forth. And then there are what we call sign gifts. Those are the miracle gifts that we'll get to in a moment. And then there are also service gifts, administration, helps, etc. And so those are three basic categories of gifting. Let's look at this brief list that he has here. He says, to one is given the utterance of wisdom. God knows that we need that. And to another, the utterance of knowledge. There are some people who know an awful lot, and they can contribute with their knowledge. It's according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. We all have faith, but some people can believe God not only for themselves, but for others. They have implicit faith in God, and they benefit the congregation. And then it says gifts of healing. Actually, it's plural, gifts of healings. Evidently, in the church, there were those who perhaps one person was especially adept at being able to pray for people who had a certain disease, and someone else could pray for people who had a different kind of a disease or whatever it was that they were going through, and some were especially gifted to be able to do that. And then it says the working of miracles, a little broader category. Maybe it includes exorcism. It includes the gifts that would function within the body of Jesus Christ. And now we continue. Gifts of healing, gifts of working miracles, to another prophecy, which can refer, yes, to receive a revelation from God or to preach the word of God and to tell forth God's word like I'm doing right now. To the other, the ability to distinguish between spirits. Oh, I think we need that today. There's no doubt that what Paul has in mind is the ability to be able to distinguish between the work of the devil and the work of the Holy Spirit. And you think that's easy? Uh-uh, that's not easy at all. There are people today, Jesus said, who will, in the name of Jesus, cast out demons and do many wonderful works, and they'll be disqualified in the day of judgment. One of the most sobering passages of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7. Now, sometimes you watch television, and I can just tell this person is doing his, quote, miracles under the power of the devil, even though he uses the name of Jesus, by the way. And Paul talks about that in another passage, and years ago I preached on that other passage. But the point is that sometimes they run concurrently. That is to say, it's difficult to distinguish because Satan's workers appear as angels of light doing miracles, and they'll do it in the name of Jesus. We need people today who have the gift of discernment, who can distinguish the false from the true. Big topic. And then we go on to tongues and so forth. Now, I'm going to take a bit of a detour here and talk about tongues. I remember seeing a sign saying, that Frenchman detour, he really made some bad roads. Well, do I have to repeat that for some of you? Let's take a bit of a detour regarding tongues, because it is the most controversial gift. The gift of tongues, some people say, and I'm only looking at it through a real sliver here, really fast. I mentioned it in previous messages that I believe that it was God's special gift to prove and to indicate that from now on the gospel was going to Gentiles in all the different languages of the world. He was reversing the Tower of Babel, which divided the world because of languages. God says, now I'm bringing them together. And the gospel is going to go worldwide, not just in the beautiful Hebrew language, but the guttural sounds of Gentile languages. But there are friends who in the movement who today tell us that when you speak in tongues, you don't have to speak an actual language as they did in the book of Acts, and furthermore, even more dangerously, you don't have to know what it is you're saying. I think that is very dangerous. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I do not need to tell you, do I, that the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is controversial. And certainly one of the parts of this controversy has to do with the doctrine of tongues. And I've introduced it here at the end of this message, and I hope that you stay tuned next time as there'll be further words of clarification as we talk about this unusual gift that God gave to the early church. I'm so glad that you have joined us. And for the many of you who perhaps have never received Jesus Christ as Savior, I always like to emphasize that. I hope that you believe on him because he is the one who can save us from our sins. That's why he came. And for those of you who do trust Christ and you do belong to him, I hope that you develop a real relationship with the Holy Spirit and that all of us together might learn to walk in the Spirit, which is, of course, really the aim of this series of messages. And in a moment, you'll be given some information as to how these messages can be yours. Our email address is media@moodychurch.org.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing a message on the gift of service, the ninth in a 10-part series on When the Spirit Has His Way, recapturing the wonder of God within us. In a moment, I'll have a word about tomorrow's Running to Win.
Well, what would happen if the Holy Spirit had his way among us? I can imagine that what would happen is couples with irreconcilable differences who are headed for divorce would be reconciled if the Spirit had his way.
Erwin Lutzer on the Holy Spirit.
But there is spiritual power available for the most bound sinner, bound by his own chains. There is help and there is hope for deliverance, forgiveness, and restoration when the Spirit has his way.
But there is confusion about the role of the Spirit.
Teaching on the Holy Spirit of God is oftentimes risky, some people believe, because we have in our minds all the extremes. And the fact is that the Holy Spirit of God has been given to the church, and there is a wing of evangelicalism that avoids the Spirit because of these extremes that are doing things that are unbiblical.
Dr. Lutzer's approach.
But what we're going to do in this series of messages, of course, is to concentrate on those issues that the Holy Spirit of God has revealed in his word that he'd like to do among us, and he is available.
When the Spirit has his way, 10 messages on CD that can transform your life. This series will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call right now at 888-218-9337. That's 888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Some believers are reluctant to focus on the Holy Spirit because they think it means having to speak in tongues. Tomorrow, a careful look into the Bible for clarity on what tongues are and what they're not. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.